Hi, welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 14, release date Sunday, September 21st, 2025. It's just me this week, which is far less interesting and fun as when there's a guest. You can be that guest, you know. All you need are earbuds or headphones, a mic, a camera, and a way of getting on the internet. We schedule a recording time, I send you a link, and boom, you're on with me. So if you have something you'd like to say or promote, a special cause that's important to you, close to your heart, you know, just contact me at peter.kemmerer@gmail.com. I'd also like to announce that I'm planning on launching a video channel on YouTube for the podcast, including past podcasts. This is a direct result of suggestions I've received. So thank you. I'm not sure when this will happen, so stay tuned to find out. Okay, so because I'll get thrown out of the Podcasters Guild if I don't do a new podcast this week, I have a few things to talk about. Railroad in Lancaster County today. I went to see a day out with Thomas the Tank Engine at the Strasburg Railroad in Lancaster County with my grandsons, my son, and my daughter-in-law. We had a great time. This is one of the rewards that some of us get. If you decided that you wanted to have kids and you had kids and then you had grandkids and then you live long enough to do things like this, it was the best. So quite a reward. We had a great time. There was tons of stuff for the kids to do. Everybody was super friendly and super happy and super helpful. And I just think it's a wonderful way to spend a day with kids. There's areas to play in. They even had a bouncy hut, which my older grandson got in and had a great time jumping around and throwing a ball at a basket in there. Just a terrific day. The weather was perfect. We got on the train, and then Thomas, the tank engine, comes up around the side and hooks up into the front of the train, and you can see his face. And then we take off, and we go for a little 15-minute or 10 or 15-minute drive on the tracks out into the countryside a bit. Then we stop, and then Thomas unhitches from the train and comes up around, and you see him go by, and he hooks up to the other side of the train and he pulls you back to the station. And while it seems a little hokey, perhaps it's kind of the thing that kids love. And I can tell you from looking at my grandson's eyes and his smiles, and it was just an exciting day for him. And he's a little over 3 years old, so I don't even know he'll remember this day, but I sure will. And I know his mommy and daddy will as well. One hint there, I mean, you can buy all sorts of things. You can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on toys and gifts and memorabilia and whatever you want. And they do have some nice little things too. But as far as food goes, I would not eat at the railroad itself. You can drive like 5 minutes down the road after you're done, have a great little breakfast or lunch until 3 p.m. at a place called the Speckled Hen Coffee Company, which is where we went. There's also other places, both directions from the east, you know, east or west from the railroad. We all enjoyed our food. The service was great. And there's even a cool little nook for the kids to play while they're waiting for their food. One of them has a little kitchen in the back there, and my grandson prepared salads for his mommy and for his pop-pop. So he brought those out while we were waiting for our food, and it occupied him, and he was happy. Every restaurant should have something like that for kids. Again, this is the reward you sometimes get if you have kids and grandkids and you live long enough to retire. And I'm just grateful that I got to spend the whole day with the gang and have a really good time there. Last week was also my first gig with my new band, the Smith Compound Band, soon to be changing the name to Groove Therapy. The leader of the band, Tracy Smith, is looking to make a clean break from the old band. There's been quite a bit of a turnover as far as people goes. Everything runs its course. I mean, it's difficult to book a band that has 7 or 8 people in it, and things change, and I hope there's no animosity in what's going on with the older members that are leaving and the newer members that are coming in, but I haven't felt any of that. I've just been welcomed into the band, and it's been great. And I really enjoy playing with them. I also get to play with my guitarist from 35 years ago, Jack Weand, who's an excellent guitarist. And so 35 years later, we come full circle, and here I am. He still hasn't gotten rid of me. So it's lots of fun, and I enjoy that part of it as well. Had to learn over 50 new songs in about 3 weeks of practice time. There's another 20 or so that I've learned many of them as well that we haven't played yet. It was quite the challenge, continues to be. I have two more to learn for this coming Saturday show. Not this Saturday, but I guess the 27th will be our next show at the Mukunji VFW Tiki Bar. So it's been a real challenge for this old guy, but rewarding too, performing with these musicians. They're all just excellent musicians. Special thanks to Tracy, Jack, and Anthony Valancourt, who's an excellent guitarist. They're the existing members going forward from Smith Compound, and they're the ones who were primarily responsible for giving this old guy a chance to lay down the low end for them. And I hope to make them happy with their decision. So I'll continue to practice. I'll continue to play. I'll try to get better. I'll try to stop having so much bass face and what they call resting bitch face. I have that as well, but I have to get rid of that somehow. That's going to be a tough one. I'm an old dog. You can't teach me many new tricks at this point. Along the lines of music, too, I want to encourage everybody to support local music. I mean, there's a dwindling number of venues out there, especially for a larger band like ourselves. I mean, full complement for us is probably going to end up being about 8. So it's tough. And it's not just the money. I mean, none of us are really doing this for the money. We're doing this for the love of music, and it's fun for us to play. We enjoy it. And you can get that feeling from us when you see the show. I can tell you that right now. I really enjoy playing. Yes, it's tiring. I'm 64 and a half as we speak. And it's not like when I was in my 20s and early 30s. But I just can't see doing anything else for fun other than hang out with my grandkids. This is the best time of life in many ways. So anyway, support these local venues. I mean, we played at Foundation Tavern this past week. Great crowd, really liked it. Terry is the Terry manager of the place, and she books bands. And if you happen to stop by there and see her, thank her for what she does and thank the owner there for what he does. I hate to say, I forget the owner's name. John comes to mind, but I could be wrong. But they do a terrific job for the bands. They have a beautiful patio area that the bands now play in. And they take very good care of all of us. So I want to thank Terry for having us. And there's many other great places out there, not as many as there used to be. So if you want to continue to hear live music on, say, Fridays and Saturdays, on the weekend, you have a long week, you want to go be happy, you want to go celebrate, you want to go dance, support these venues. You know, even if it costs you a $5 cover charge, you're showing these venues that you're willing to support their businesses and you're thanking them for having this live music. Okay, so my wife tells me that I need to share my secret for marinating and cooking perfectly roasted broccoli, which I make once a week with either steaks or pork chops. So this is the food section of this podcast, all right? And I will share my secret. It's no big deal. But if you follow my instructions, I can almost absolutely guarantee that people will love your roasted broccoli. So you fill a gallon freezer bag with cleaned and trimmed broccoli. You want to trim off those long, big stems or any dark spots at the end of those stems. Make sure that broccoli's washed, by the way. Not all broccoli comes pre-washed. And even if it does, you might want to give it a rinse. Add 2 healthy pinches of coarse salt, one on each side of the bag. Try to spread it out. Don't add too much salt. We'll see why in a minute. And then grind some black pepper on each side of the bag from the bottom to the top as best you can. Don't overdo it. And when I say each side of the bag, you're going to take the grinder and put it in the bag and then grind it going from the bottom of the bag to the top and then flip the bag over and do it again so that you get a coating of black pepper in each side. But don't overdo it with the pepper. Just get in there and get the job done. The next thing is you sprinkle in about 2 tablespoons of grated Pecorino Romano cheese. You can use Parmesan cheese if you want on each side of the bag. Again, spreading it from the bottom to the top of each side. I use a healthy amount. I'm a cheese freak, so. And it also adds the additional saltiness that you want without making it disgustingly salty. Next, you sprinkle in a healthy amount of dried minced garlic on each side of the bag from the bottom to the top. Now, dried minced garlic it's become pretty expensive and even difficult to find in some places. But I like this because it holds up better through the roasting process. And I think it has a better, toastier taste to it once you get done roasting the broccoli. So when I say a healthy amount, I like to see it. I like to see it throughout. So if you can see it throughout and it's coating most of the broccoli florets, you're in good shape. Next, drizzle a healthy amount of extra virgin olive oil on both sides of the bag, from the bottom to the top. Again, ensuring you get some oil on all the broccoli. Don't overdo it. If it gets too oily, it won't be good. And if you don't have enough oil, it won't be good either. So again, this is going to be something you're going to have to figure out for yourself. But as long as I get a little drizzle going on the broccoli on both sides, I'm in pretty good shape. Then you seal the bag with as much air in it as you can and shake it vigorously while turning and flipping it. Now, the goal here is to disperse all of the ingredients the best that you can. I usually do this for about a minute or so. So I'm taking the bag and I'm shaking it, and I'm turning it and I'm flipping it, and I'm making sure that I'm getting the garlic throughout and everything else just mixed up. Real good. And I love using the bag method because now you take that bag, put it in the refrigerator, let it marinate for at least an hour and preferably a couple hours. Yeah, you can marinate your broccoli. It actually works out because if that mixture that you put in there will soak in with the Evo into the florets. And it really helps the flavor of the broccoli when you roast it. So when you're ready to roast it, dump it onto a medium-large baking tray, separate the florets by hand, and make sure they are facing up, not down into the pan. Preheat your oven to 400 Fahrenheit, and then you can roast them for 18 minutes. Turn the tray 180 degrees, flip it, after about 9 minutes to ensure even roasting, because every oven has hot spots and cold spots. So you want to flip that around so they roast nice and evenly. When you're done, shut it off, get them out, and serve them up. It's super easy, and your spouse or your guests will really enjoy it. So I hope to get some feedback from you guys if you actually try that recipe. Now, one of the other themes of this podcast is supposed to be drinks. It says so right there in the logo. So I haven't really given them enough time here, but since I have some time to spare, I want to recommend Tullamore Dew. It's a relatively inexpensive, smooth Irish whiskey that's over 192 years old as we speak. Not the individual bottle, but the company. It's an excellent example of a whiskey that can be much better than way more expensive whiskeys. It is a step up from the basics. But really, it doesn't cost very much. Here in Pennsylvania, it's often on sale in our state-run liquor stores. I enjoy it on the rocks or on a rock, a single huge ice cube, or with a little club soda and maybe a squeeze of orange. Very smooth. It doesn't have that bite that a lot of scotches could have or Irish whiskeys could have or bourbons can have even. It's a nice smooth drink and really, one of them's enough. One double. It will be all you need for your evening. And it's a nice little drink. So Tullamore Dew. I recommend that. Another nearly as easy to make drink is the French Martini. Now, This is the sweet, rich, and velvety variant of the drink. So here's how you make a French martini. You place some ice in a shaker. Add 1 ounce of Chambord black raspberry liqueur. Add 1 ounce of your favorite vodka. You can use Finlandia if you like, or you can use Tito's. Add 2 ounces of unsweetened pineapple juice, you know, the pineapple juice you can get in a can. Or you could use fresh if you like. I like actually using the juice out of the can, believe it or not. It's less sweet. So you shake it thoroughly then, and then strain it into a martini glass, keeping the ice in the shaker, okay? Don't shake it too much, though. It'll get too frothy. Just a little bit. Get it cooled off, and then go ahead and pour it in your martini glass. It's very posh, very delicious, and super easy. So that's the French martini. And I'll include the instructions in the show notes if you're interested in making one. Finally, I'd like to recommend an author to you. Yeah, I actually read books. Surprise. And his latest book, David Thorne, is an Australian satirist. He's an exceptionally funny guy who's written a bunch of books. The times these days are more than a little troubled, so if you're looking for a very silly escape, his books are a perfect solution. Starting with his classic, The Internet is a Playground, you get the sense that he just sees the funny in everything and everyone around him. You get a sense of him from his book titles. And check some of these out. Everyone's friendly and nobody gets upset. Let's eat grandma's pills. Deadlines don't care if Janet doesn't like her photo. That's not how you wash a squirrel. Wrap it in a piece of cheese like you're tricking the dog. How to talk to girls and lizards. And his latest book, Hannah's Forehead and Other Horror Stories. Gotta read that one yet. I just got it the other day. There's many more, and I'd like to thank my friend Phil Burke, who I've known since fourth grade at Moser School in Allentown, Pennsylvania, for introducing me to David Thorne and negatively affecting my bank account as a result. Every book has been great, and I highly recommend them. And believe it or not, that wraps up another episode of Pete's Pub. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If not, well, you don't have to subscribe. No, really. I like doing the show with guests more than just talking, and I think they're more interesting. So if you are someone who wants to be on the show, or you know someone that wants to be on the show, or you want to recommend for the show, just drop me an email at peter.kemmerer@gmail.com. You can send me your comments, suggestions. You can yell at me. I'm always interested to talk with people with stories to tell, though. And I do this because it's fun. I'm not making any money at this and don't plan on even trying. The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. And one of these days, I'm going to play the entire song at the end of the show, maybe today. Until next time, remember, if you can be a bass player, be one. If you can't, date or marry one. See you soon. Bye-bye.